Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
I actually feel that Professor Mary Ryan increased my metabolism there just by talking, so we might slow it down a bit slightly again. Now, psychotherapist Richard Hogan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brendan.
So, bank holiday weekend, secondary yep. school finished up yesterday, so we're going to tackle the big one today, holidays. It's supposed to be relaxing.
Supposed to be.
Tensions can build and the tensions can sometimes explode. And if actually you're okay to take some texts and questions.
Absolutely, yeah.
Text sure. any comments or questions to 51551 or you can email Brendan at rte.ie. So listen, will we start with the nuclear family?
Yeah.
We'll build out from there.
Sure.
So the sane option for a holiday, just you and your partner
yeah.
and kids if you have them. Any advice around that?
What I'd always think is about when you have kids, you can't relive the holidays you had when you were young. I think that is where the conflict comes in. And I did this myself. My daughter, we went on her first holiday. You try somehow to relive what you had but it's irrevocably changed. And I often think about, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Contact with Jodie Foster. You know, they find the spaceship and they apply what they know about aviation to the plane, to the spacecraft, and they put Jodie Foster in a seatbelt in a chair and it nearly kills her. And she realizes, no, that's not designed for this. And she steps out of it and all of a sudden she's calm and serene. And when you let go of those old ideas about how yeah. holidays used to be, it's calm and serene, and it's something that we have to come to. There's a recalibration that's required for a holiday with a child, and when you come to that and acceptance that the holiday won't be what it was like when you were a single or when you went off on your 18-30 holiday with the lads or when you went off together as a couple, I think when you change those and recalibrate those expectations, things can be a lot more peaceful and actually have a really great holiday. So it's about watching your expectations.
Yeah, and I think the fewer moving parts,
absolutely.
The better. Keep it
and
simple.
Probably the less distance
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. In terms of, you are saying though to try and maybe carve out a bit of me time for the parents, even if it's a tag team kind of effort.
Yeah, but holidays are what we do maybe once, twice, maybe if you're lucky, three times a year. But like really once a year is kind of what the normal for a holiday is. We need to be more like that in our everyday life because the holiday is the one big thing, Brendan. But we do need to carve out time for ourselves during a week. And I know it's busy and I know it's, we've got lots going on, particularly if we're in our 40s. There's loads of things going on there. But if the holiday is just the one punctuation to a whole year, that's not good enough for your health and your well-being, your psychological wellness, you know. And so if you're on a holiday, I would say healthy families are about being together. But also separately.
Yeah.
And you have, like, when I think of myself, we used to go to Portugal and I'd go down and watch Federer in the finals of the Wimbledon. And that would be my kind of little break for the holiday. And
yeah.
then the next day, my wife would say, I'm going down getting whatever it is she wants to get down. And like, off you go. And so we like eke out a little time for ourselves separately, but also together.
Absolutely.
Like, it's such a vital thing, isn't it?
You wouldn't sit around in Ireland having a beer on your own. But like, if you get off for an hour or
<I'm someone>
when you're away, like, and you
oh,
sit
absolutely.
Down that's quiet beer
but
yourself.
That is so
like,
important. Because,
yeah.
Brenda, this is the thing. We're in the age of constant productivity. We're told we have to be constantly doing something. If we're not successful. We're told it's the age of constant, productivity. Idleness is such an important part of a holiday. You know, we talk about ikigai, that Japanese idea of flow. Well, to
yeah.
me, there's a flow in idleness. Sitting
yeah.
there watching the tennis, the breeze, the soporific breeze coming in, you're in your shorts, you feel fantastic, you're getting, where will I go for lunch? That's your biggest concern. All of that is idle flow to me. And there's a biological aspect of that, really important, because dopamine, as we've often talked about here, the receptors for dopamine decrease when we're chronically stressed. And if we're working intensely all year long, right, that can really decrease, if we're chronically stressed, it can decrease those receptors of dopamine, which can actually make us move towards a low period, perhaps even depressive episodes. But when we're in those idle moments,
yeah.
those receptors grow back again.
Yeah.
The brain
yeah.
is such a regenerative organ, and so we need downtime.
You're like obviously broadly like kind of not that well disposed towards kids on screens and everything, but on a holiday you're a little bit.
I would it's funny, I would always try to on a holiday keep them off the screen too, because that's the holiday to me. That's the holiday.
Would you not like,
at the end of the day now, maybe coming home from the beach, whenever, I'd always pinpoint the moments where there can be a flash of conflict, right? You
yeah.
all come back from the beach, you're exhausted, you're tired. And that's where I might, like, when getting ready, getting dinner ready or going for a shower or whatever it is, or I might put in the device there for an hour.
Yeah.
And I might allow for it there.
Or like if you're out for dinner and mum and dad want to have maybe another glass of wine or a beer, you might whip out the screens at that point and say, okay, you guys can check out for a while. Yeah. We'll be here. We'll be here. That's the easy bit then, yeah. Right? They're the people you live with anyway. So let's add in some extended family now, like some people go on holidays with maybe siblings, their family, maybe there's parents, maybe there's in-laws.
Yeah. they have in business.
You don't do this clearly.
In business.
Yeah. Okay.
Buyer beware. Again, of course, it depends on the family. This is a very subjective thing, but I would always have the idea of what do I want from this holiday? Because so much conflict. When you have 8 or 9 people in an Airbnb in Lisbon, in Port, whatever it is, you know, that's 9 different people who perceive the world 9 different ways and enjoy things 9 different ways as well. And so it's really important that you have an understanding of what you want from the holiday. But also, I would always try to be open in the communication around it, because people can feel like if you go off for the day with, you know, with the wife and kids, are kind of, Jesus, Brendan's in a bit of a strop there.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? What's wrong with him?
Yeah.
But I would state that out, you know, and say, I'm really looking forward for us all to be together. And you know, I will be going for a walk to see the cathedral up there, and I will be going off on my own with the kids, and we will be doing things separately as well. So it'd be great for us to be together during the holiday, but also we'll all have times to go off and have a separate moment there during the holiday. Because I think that's what, when it's not spoken about, that's when things become a little bit suspicious, or people get a little bit annoyed. He's not on the holiday. He's not playing ball with us on the holiday. Typical Richard. He's doing his own thing. And it's like, no, if you just state that beforehand, there's no.
Get it all out in the open
and say, this is what we want from the holiday. And again, I'd always say, if it is a family holiday, you have to say, it's a holiday for all of us. Because generally what can happen when I work clinically with this is that mom was positioned, or maybe even grandmom was positioned as, like, you know, cleaning up everything and doing it. I said, that's not a holiday for...
Yeah, I believe there's a phrase among women, same shite, different
different
sink.
Location.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's not a holiday.
Yeah.
And there's an inequity there. And so that's not fair, and that's not fairness, you know. And so I would say having that conversation first of all, and maybe even grandmom saying, I'm not minding all your kids, you know, for the whole holiday. This is my holiday too. And I will allow you to go off for yourselves to have a meal or whatever, but I'm not going to be doing this all the time, just so you know that I will be going out too. And that when you set that
so
out,
it's okay to lay out the boundaries and stuff like that.
Have
some rules on
I think it's important to have those boundaries for a big group.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's important too, I think, is it for everyone to have their own space to retreat to as well.
Oh God, I'm a big advocate of that.
Yeah,
I have terrible notions, Brendan. When I was young fella going to stag parties, I'd always check into a separate hotel, so I could.
Love it, brilliant.
Yeah, and I always do. My friends used to laugh at me and call me notions, and I'd go to the hotel because I'd have the swimming pool and the nice meal and the nice bedroom and all that, and then I'd go meet them, have the stag, and then come back to the nice hotel. I think that's such an important part
that's
of like
genius.
Well-being. And for me personally, my mental health and all that it's not selfishness. That's a bit of self-care there, and I think that's very important as well when you go on holidays, to have your space, because when you're around people all the time, there's 9 personalities, it can wear you down.
You say in that group dynamic that a leader always kind of emerges.
We're a hierarchical species.
I hate that person.
Well, we're a hierarchical species. We crave hierarchy, let's be honest.
Really? Yeah. So do we want a leader to emerge
in these situations?
I think
we probably do in some ways.
Okay.
I mean, this is generality now, of course.
Yeah.
I drive my life personally in my personal life. But when I go on holidays, if someone takes over and drives and all the rest of it, I'm happy enough to let someone be the driver or, you know, make some decisions there. But I wouldn't let someone be dominant all the time and putting structure on my holiday all the time. That to me is not a holiday.
No, a holiday is
about living by your vagaries. You know, a holiday for you is having the room to kind of be spontaneous and go off, because our lives are so rigid and regimented, and our lives are so, you know, tracked. And a holiday for me is stepping off the track and not thinking that we have to do this and we have to do that and we have to do this. It's nice to have a little bit of structure and say we want to do this on Tuesday, maybe go here and whatever it is. But there's room for spontaneity. There's room for other stuff to come into your life and different things to be experienced. And I think that's what's important. And if someone is dominant, I might say it, you know.
What would you say?
If someone is, I'd say, look, I'm going to look after myself tomorrow. You guys do whatever you want to do, but I'm going to go here tomorrow.
But you see, Richard, that's throwing a bomb into the middle of everything, right?
Maybe you
this
need
is
a bomb.
Problem.
But maybe you need a little. Maybe you need to, because if you don't, this is the thing, Brendan, I always say, there's this thing simmering away there. If you're going to the cathedral and you've absolutely no interest in the bloody cathedral, you're going to be cynical sitting there and bitter and annoyed.
No,
have authenticity and say, look, I have no interest in going to that cathedral tomorrow. I'm going to do this instead.
Okay.
Best of luck with it.
You're throwing down the gauntlet there to the leader. It's someone here texts to say, great topic. Based on some really terrific holidays with small kids and no much bigger ones, my tip would be to have dinner out or a takeaway sorted every night. Yeah. It's a real break for mom then. Also, bring a pack of cards, magic.
Oh, yeah.
And like, Uno is...
Oh, I was going to say that when you were saying about when the kids are sitting down having the meal and you're saying about the laptop or the iPads. I was thinking Uno is what I do there.
Yeah.
And we have a game of Uno if the kids are getting restless and they fucking love Uno. And it's
and it's a way of being together
and
without
having
to...
absolutely together.
You know, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. If you put on the iPads, you're completely separate and you're always elsewhere, you know what I mean? And for me, a holiday is about being us together and Uno. And even the flight, I would always think about the flight when the kids were younger. Let's get them colours, let's get them this, let's get them that. So when they do kick off, of course, all kids are going to kick off on a flight, right? And get a bit agitated and get up and get down, go up and get down. If you've got the colouring there, if you've got the things to act, you know, keep them active, that's preempting what were the little flashpoints. It makes things much, much easier.
It's going back to if we're still in the group family situation. There's a text here saying how do you deal with different parenting styles, right?
So
say, like, you know, your sister is practicing gentle parenting,
parenting,
you know, someone else is really strict and they're being strict with your kids and, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
I generally, personally, wouldn't be parenting my friends' children.
Okay, so you can't give out to other people's kids?
Well, I suppose you can, but I personally wouldn't recommend it.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Depending on what the situation is now, of course.
Yeah.
I would if there was something going on in the pool or whatever, you know, and that kind of stuff,
okay.
Right? But for my nephews or whatever, if my brother was saying something to my daughters, that to me is perfectly accepted. That's a family dynamic and that's what I expect them to step in there and say things. So again, it depends on the kind of relationship that you have with your brothers and sisters and with your family. Some people won't respond to that very well if you're parenting their children, if you give them advice or if you say something to them. But again, it all depends on the nature of the relationship you have with someone.
Yeah.
You know, I would be thinking, you know, that.
So you're saying people need to kind
read
of
the
feel
land.
This.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Brendan, as a nuclear family, we somehow fell into family holidays with the in-laws. It's become...
You can fall out again.
It's become a bone of contention with my partner as I seek a break. For us, broaching any boundaries for space is very difficult. I now take a shorter break as part of the family holiday.
But I feel
like an outsider.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but people... I guarantee you, there are people all over the country stuck in arrangements are taken for granted each year. Like, and it's like,
and
we're doing that again. And they're like... I can never break out of this.
And everyone thinks
life.
Everyone's having fun, but that might not be the case, particularly if you're not, maybe, you know, if you're outside the family, if you're married into the family, of course. And I think that's something that you need to really sit down with, because a holiday is so important. And that's the crucial thing here, as I said, about the biology of holidays and the neuroscience around holidays. They're so important for that caller. If he's stressed, or if that's a she, if they're stressed, you know, going on that holiday and they're trying to get away from the holiday earlier, that's a stress, but that's just adding more stress. And then it's costing you so much money, you know. I mean, we've all come back from holidays and we've gone, geez, that cost me so much and it was crap, you know. And so you have to be careful of that kind of stuff. And that's a really important conversation with your partner about that.
Okay, let's get away from families then. So say you've alluded to the stag party thing, like the kind of lots of weddings abroad now, and it can end up with a big diffuse group of people who are kind of end up being semi on holidays together.
You don't even know who they are. I mean, again, that's, I'd always go into that with openness. If I'm going to a wedding, particularly whatever, openness is one of the big five personality traits. And it's one of those, if you have higher levels of it, if you work at it, you can have optimal chances of happiness in your life. So if you're open in that situation, I think you can have a great holiday, meeting new people. The brain is wired. I mean, we're mammals. We're designed for that buzz of meeting new people and buzzing off that. I mean, that's exactly what the brain is
designed
for.
Okay, so view it as a good thing.
View it as a good thing.
Yeah.
And be open to, like, all the personalities that you're going to meet. And, you know, try to be, like, really... And that's a personality trait. Try to be really open to it. If you're closed off, people would say, geez, what's wrong with him? He's very sullen over there in his own. And you're kind of sitting there like a cranky kind of guy. And you're going to have no holiday there. If you're open, I think loads of things can come into your life. Openness is a hugely significant thing to develop in yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what if you really are
don't
allergic
like some.
To some of them?
Yeah,
like?
Yeah. Well, yeah. You may well be.
Yeah.
People are sometimes
life,
you know, allergic, you know, allergy provoking. I would say just always what I do personally is I try to think, I wonder what it is about me that's coming up here. Not about you, but what's coming up for me with, just say, Brendan, if I met you for the first time on holiday, I'd ask myself about what's he bringing up for me? what's that? I'd always ask myself about me.
Okay.
Because it's very easy to kind of go, well, he's a bit of a whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but I'd say what I'd always ask me, well, what's about me? And then I always think this, if I particularly dislike someone, well, someone loves them, right? And so maybe they're seeing something that I'm not seeing about this person. And what might that be? So I'm kind of curious. I'm always trying to be curious about stuff. You know, if I have a reaction to someone, I'm trying to be curious about what that reaction is about, basically. And it keeps you open. It really keeps you open, and it keeps you from being linear in your diagnosis of someone going, oh, he's just such an annoying whatever it is. It keeps you open from doing that. And that actually, that openness keeps you actually maybe having more, you know, more friends in your life and more dynamics.
Are you not like, you've probably spent way too much money to go like somewhere random in
Nurka,
Italy
wherever.
Or whatever, where you've been forced to spend all this money on a thing. And you're then spending the time doing the work on yourself and blaming yourself for the other people.
Well, it's not about blaming. You're in the corner rocking, thinking, what's wrong with me? No, I'm saying just to be a bit open about it. And ultimately, Brendan, a strategy I would always use. If I can't come to any conclusions about that, I avoid them. Avoidance is a great strategy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll require tactics.
It will require nice,
like
subtle
that,
tactics.
You can do it. So people often, I think particularly more often now these days, might go on holidays with someone that they mightn't be boozing buddies with. It could be an outer circle friend. It could be a colleague from work. People who happen to have the same time off, there's no one else available or whatever. Any advice around that?
Yeah, and I'd always say I'd rather go on a holiday than not go on a holiday. And that's a great, go for it and see what happens. And, you know, again, it's that openness. Now, I am thinking clinically because I have worked with some of these cases where they've come back and it was a disastrous holiday and they had, you know, conflict throughout the holiday and one person wanted to go one place, one person wanted to go another place. And I said, you know, and I asked them, did you have any kind of boundary around before you went? And I said, well, I didn't feel comfortable saying it because I didn't know them. And so then it fell into this awkward dynamic, you know, and this balance during the holiday. And I'd say, well, maybe have that conversation. And that might get you to know the person a little bit more, because that's great. Go off on a holiday with someone you don't know from work or whatever it is that you don't know that well. I'd rather that than not going on the holiday.
Yeah.
And maybe a little clear communication around what it is you both of you want from the holiday might, you know, usurp that kind of conflict that develops.
You're saying a contract, really. Of
well, that sounds very legal. But a conversation, you know, what are you hoping for the holiday? What do you want to go see? What do you want to do? You know, because, you know, some people are, I'm very much a beach person and I like to sit by the beach and read a novel. That to me is absolute tranquility, and go for a swim and read the novel and come back and that, go for food. That might be to somebody else, you know.
They want to be at the ancient ruins or whatever.
Walking through the cobbled streets there, which I might like too, but not when the sun is up and all that. And so that, just figuring that out together about how you manage that so that there's not conflict and there's not one person standing outside a shop waiting for you as you're shopping in some trinket shop. You know, have that conversation prevents all that stuff from happening.
Yeah, a lot of this is coming back to communication.
No, really, it is always about communication. Yeah, absolutely.
There's a text there, separated couple holidaying together for the benefit of the kids. What advice would you offer?
Honestly, that's a really good question. Depending on the nature of the conflict and the reason for separation. You know, we often think that the kids would need us to be together for the holiday, and I'd often work with families because I'm a family therapist, where the kids would say to me it was an absolute disaster, right? And so depending on the nature of the conflict, I would say, maybe the kids don't need you both to go on holidays. That's the reality, you know. If there's going to be conflict,
the downside of that might
be. There is, I would say maybe a separate holiday might be better if there's conflict. But if there's not and you've amicably separated, again, a good clear conversation about the boundaries about, you know, because you mightn't want to go for a meal together. It's a really difficult thing to navigate. There's no doubt about it, going on a holiday after separation. And the reasoning for that separation is obviously going to be simmering away there for whatever happened there. And so maybe it might be better to go on a holiday separately so that the kids might actually get a chance to relax. Because if there's tension there, Brendan, the children are absolutely tuned into that stuff. And that's not a holiday for them either. And it's not a holiday for you guys. And
yeah.
So it's like maybe it might be better about having a separate holiday.
Okay, here's a kind of a random one. But how about a teacher who, no matter what campsite, hotel, airport queue, here's hi teacher, and this continues for the flight, hotel, general break from school. And we could broaden that out to like anybody. They're trying to get away from their life and their role in life and
hi
everything.
Teacher. Yeah. I'm just wondering what school they worked in, because I've worked in schools many times, you know, and you might see it the odd time, but not that often, you know what I mean? I'm wondering, well, how big was that school of theirs that they were getting hi teacher every holiday they go on? But I suppose if Brad Pitt can go on holidays, I suppose we can all go on holiday.
Yeah,
you know. I suppose I get that a bit, you know, how are you, whatever, you're traveling, or people would say something to me. It was funny, I was going to Florence last summer and I was getting on the flight and someone said to me, is there any way, Richard, you don't see my child on their iPad? Because they're sitting there. And then my own kids were killing each other for the window seat. You know what I mean? That's just like life and holidays. I wouldn't pay much attention to that. I think you're tuned into the high teacher. I mean, if they're down at the beach with you and they're in the restaurant with you and in the pub with you, I would say, well, that's
something.
You're going to the wrong place.
But you see, Cork people all go to the same places, don't they? And then they give out about that. They're afraid of other Cork people. But they have these certain locations, don't they, that they like. And I presume it's the same with all kinds of
But I wouldn't pay too much attention to it. When someone says, hi, sir, to me, whatever, from teaching over the years, I'd say, how are you getting on? And then I'm gone, you know, and that's kind
okay. That's told him. Yeah. He needs to sit down and take a look at himself and his own reactions
exactly.
to it, is it?
Okay, Brendan, can I just say one thing, right? Because we put awful pressure on ourselves to have the brilliant holiday. You know, that pressure, this is my only time for a break, I must have a brilliant holiday. But actually, as I analyse holidays that I've been on, sometimes it's the catastrophe that you remember. When we think about our family, we sit down over dinner and talk about the holidays we've had. We went to Seattle in 2021. I was working with Fulbright over there in university. And we rented a car from Seattle to San Francisco and we drove down.
Which sounds like the mythical
It is
of
like,
holiday,
you know, Easy Rider kind of stuff in my head, you know. And I was going to have my fantastic hair flowing out the sunroof and all the rest of it. But actually, my daughter got sick in the back of the car. One of them wanted to go to the toilet. There was shouting and roaring going on. We pulled over. I was down on my hands and knees scrubbing vomit from the car seat. And it's the holiday. It's that moment that we always talk about when we talk about holidays. I remember thinking, Jesus, is this a holiday? And I'm down on my hands and knees, you know, getting vomit out of the car seat. But that's the thing that we recall.
Yeah.
That's the thing that binds us as a family. So the pressure to have the perfect family or the perfect family holiday, it's in the moments that you have those, you know, it's in the moments where you have something special happen. You know, and so the pressure to have this incredible holiday. How many of us enjoy ourselves if you say, am I having great fun now? Is this good fun? I mean, I should be, this is the apex of my year. Am I having great fun?
Yeah, it's a killer. Am I being fully present
in this moment?
Am I taking all this in?
Exactly.
Look at the lovely sky. Take it in.
Eat that peach and look at that sunscreen. It's like, geez, relax and see what happens.
My husband wants our family with kids to go on a group holiday with friends at a house share in Ireland. Some of the pals have children, some do not. I like to keep my friend life and my family life separate. I don't think I'll relax. How can I bring this up with my friends without sounding like I'm setting rules?
Yeah.
Well, you are setting some rules.
What's so? I think Irish people particularly are terrified of sounding somehow fascist in their ideas around a holiday. You know, we will do this, and this. Or I want this boundary. It's like just set the rules, set the boundaries that you want and see what happens. And if they, you know, if they find the boundaries too rigid or stringent or whatever it is, maybe you might have to recalibrate a little bit. But what's wrong with setting rules?
Yeah. And maybe don't go on a holiday you don't want to go on because, as you say, like, they're rare and precious.
Exactly.
Like,
they are absolutely
do what
rare.
You want.
Yeah. Imagine that.
I know.
Imagine that.
We've come to it.
Imagine doing something that you'd like to do.
Do what you want.
Exactly.
Okay. The teacher is back. It's every year, 600 pupils, he says.
600 pupils. That's a lot of pupils, but still, I mean, I think you could probably go on a holiday.
They're clearly everywhere. Back to the switching off thing from earlier. And the putting the brain into idle. Michael says, I've an always on job. I find it very hard to pull away. I always feel I have to put it first. I'm afraid of consequences if I don't, to such a point that I'm always putting off the family holiday. Any recommendations on how or tools to use to pull away from work? And actually, you could ally that to the fact that a lot of people probably do bring work on holidays.
Oh, yeah.
You know, laptops and remote stuff and everything.
You know, it's a great little barometer to see how long it takes you to relax. You know, when you go into your holiday and you shift the little gear, the little transition thing, see how long that transition takes to get your circadian clock out of what you're doing and your stress about your emails and all that. You are entitled to holidays. It's a very important part of well-being. And just, what was it, Michael was the name there, you know?
Yeah.
Again, I would say you got to really kind of look at your, because that sounds to me like a bit of chronic stress, if that's how you view work.
Okay.
You know, you got to really kind of think about, how can I embed, and that's what I was saying to you at the start about holidays, because they're only once a year. They're just the thing you do once a year. The thing you do every day is far more important. You know, that's a really far more important thing. And so if you start to pull back a little bit, not bringing the work home, you know, I work in a particularly heavy job and it's hard to sometimes compartmentalize. You hear really heavy stories, but I have to work at it. And there's things that I do every day to help myself kind of compartmentalize that part of my life.
So what would be a few tips for transitioning away from work?
Again, for me, going for a walk, or going for a run, or going for a swim, I like sensory stuff, like in the sea. Yeah. That would really get me to kind of like be reborn again. And the day's kind of washed off me. I feel it's kind of gone, to be honest. Yeah, yeah. Or running, for me, is massive. Like, you know, running, I feel like I'm really out, whatever it is, and I'm, you know.
Sometimes you're running, it literally feels like you're throwing the psychic junk behind
and you're getting dopamine
you
fire.
Like yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. I would say, you know, it's so important that you do, because honestly, and this is such an important message, Brendan, the jobs that we do, they're only designed to pay for our lives with our family. Right?
Yeah.
When you break it down, if I died in the morning, there'll be somebody else talking here or writing a column there or going to my clinic. Somebody else will step into that role. And so, you know, we think that our jobs are absolutely everything. They're not. Yeah. It's great. It's really important to have meaning in the work that you're doing and to have passion in what you're doing, right? And many of us don't have that. And so it's like we have to recalibrate our thinking, because this journey is going to be over at some point. And if that's how you're living every day, stressed about your work, I would say at time you have to look at that again. And maybe it might require a shift. It might be a shift in how you're working, how you're thinking about your job, but it also might require, Brendan, a shift of the work that you're doing. And it's never too late to change that. And if it's chronic stress that this job is bringing into your life, I would say just remember the gift of your life, the magic of your life, this 400 quadrillion to the power of 150,000, the gift, the magic, that's been tainted by this job. And maybe it's time to think about that.
So life's too short.
Life is too short for this stuff to be
the
that.
The other thing to remember is that, like, no matter how important
you
anyone
think
thinks
were.
Their jobs are, they go away, they'll manage while you're away, and when you come back, it'll all be fine. Unless you've been perpetrating a massive fraud for years and somebody else has done that. Exactly. You know, the people who won't go on holidays because they're sitting on a fraud thing and they can't afford to
go. That's a different thing altogether.
Yeah. Okay, Richard, so full of insight as always, says this texter. My favourite family holiday was a disaster, but that's where the fun was.
Exactly.
A beautiful memory now.
Yes.
And you're off to Cork now with
the
family.
I'm off to Cork with the family to have a holiday
weekend.
And bring my mother.
In your T-shirt looking relaxed and everything.
And ready to go.
Okay, Richard Hogan, thank you very much. We'll take a break.
Email brendan@rte.ie.